The idea today is, and the name of the sermon is, When Only a Miracle Will Do. How many might need a little bit of help this morning? Anybody here might need a little bit of help? And so this morning our theme is, When Only a Miracle Will Do. And here's our scripture. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple. Now listen, when Jesus died, there's an interesting thing occurred because a lot of things happened besides Jesus being raised from the dead. A lot of things took place that day. A lot of miracles took place that day. Not only the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but a lot of things. And one of those things was, as the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that meant this, that there was this thing called the temple. And in the Old Testament, the old days, that's where God dwelt. He dwelt inside this little bitty room. In their mentality was he dwelt in this little bitty room, and they had this huge curtain that separated them from God. And nobody could go in there except one person who was called the high priest one time a year. He could go in, offer a sacrifice, but he had to come right back out. They used to tie a rope to his leg, and if he died in there, nobody was going after him. They pulled him out with a rope, and that was the end of it. And so it was holy. It was a place you could not enter. It was where God was. It was as if you were separated from God. And here's what happened. The day when Jesus gave his last breath and died on the cross, he paid for your sin and my sin. He cleared the way for us to be able to get close to God. And so what God did, he likes us dumb. Everybody, all the dumb people say amen this morning. Would y'all the dumb? He loves the dumb people because what he did was he did a pictorial drawing of what just took place on the cross. He took a drawing of it and had it happen in the temple. Was he says he took the veil and it ripped from top to bottom. That was God saying, here's what's happening over on Calvary. Here's what's happening at the cross. When Jesus took all of our sin upon him, then literally he made the way open that you and I now can go to God, because Jesus took all of our sin on him. And then the book of Corinthians says, then he gave us, not only did he take our sin, but he gave us his righteousness. How many think that's a pretty good deal? And God said, here's what I did for you. Here's what happened when Jesus breathed his last, cried out and gave up the ghost. Then all of our sins were paid for. All of our lawlessness was gone away. All of the things we'd done wrong. And now his righteousness was gone. And now God says, poof, he cuts the veil in two from top to bottom. And he says, come home. I can fellowship with you now because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody give the Lord a good clap offering one more time. But that's not all that happened that day. It says, the earth shook. The rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Other tombs broke open. So Easter was not just to be remembered about one person being raised from the dead, but Easter can be remembered that a lot of people got raised from the dead. Watch this. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to me. Can you imagine you walking down the street with your wife and you look there and says, hello, Martha. And then literally said, didn't we do Martha's funeral last week? Matthew records this, and nobody else puts this little detail in, that not only was Jesus raised from the dead, but other people experienced an Easter experience too. They also were raised from the dead. And this morning, I believe that Easter was never meant to be something remembered 2,000 years ago only that happened. But Easter was something to be experienced right now today. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord another good clap offering, would you? The name of this sermon is When Only a Miracle Will Do. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the power of your resurrection, that it not only affected you, it affected many people, and it affected us. So this morning, Lord, would you show yourself great? Would you receive all the glory? Would you glorify your Son, Jesus, and his resurrection? We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Turn around to somebody, give them another good high five. Tell them Jesus is alive this morning, would you? You can be seated today. I loved hearing stories about people and the miracles God did in their lives. I'm not a miracle freak. I'm not only bent on that, but it just encourages me to know that Jesus is still alive and still doing miracles today. All of us are facing things that are very real. Some of you out here this morning, you're facing things where there's not an earthly remedy for your situation. And I just want to do this just to begin with today. I want to take a survey right now, and I want to ask how many people in here, 100%, no doubt, that God has done a miracle in your life. Let's see your hands. Look at that. Look, keep them up. Just look around. Either we're lunatics or God's alive. Come on, somebody. And He's alive today. Listen, all these people have experienced. Why all this talk about miracles? Here's my point. Easter wasn't a day just to experience alone, that He experienced the incredible miracle alone. Lots of miracles happened. Earthquakes happened. God tore the veil in the temple. Other people experienced a resurrection. Easter was never to be just localized, though it was the greatest thing ever on the planet Earth of Jesus raising from the dead. But He never meant to do it alone. He always meant for others to experience what He experienced. He always meant for the resurrection that time to be our resurrection and for us to experience it. And I believe, listen, it's easy to believe in miracles that occurred 2,000 years ago. But listen, I believe this. God never stopped doing miracles. Can I say that again? God never stopped doing miracles. He still does them today. God's still doing miracles. And let me leave this. And there's still some things He wants to do. Look at John chapter 14. Listen what He said. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater works than these because I'm going to My Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask Me anything in My name and I will do it. Now get this. Here's Jesus saying, listen, miracles are not to stop when I leave. Miracles were never supposed to stop. He said, if you believe in Me, you will keep doing what I've been doing. So if you've got in your mind that those kind of things only happen when Jesus was on the earth, it's wrong. Jesus said, I never want these things to stop happening. I never want the miracles, the things I'm doing. He said, when I leave, I will give you power and you will keep doing the things I have been doing. He says, listen, when I leave, miracles are supposed to keep on keeping on. Now, here's our hope. I don't believe that Easter is a day that we marvel at, though we should. But I don't believe we should marvel at it just remembering an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It would be a great event if that's all we did. It would be a great day if that's all we did today. Got together, remembered the resurrection of Jesus because it is the greatest day in history. It was the greatest thing ever happened. But that is not what all that God intended for us to do. The truth is God always meant for Easter not to be a day remembered, but a day to be experienced. Everybody say experienced. He wants us to experience the miracle, when only a miracle will do. And there are times when we need help when there's no earthly solution to what we have. Can you imagine if God had stopped doing those things? If He did, some of us would really be in trouble today. So let's pray one more time. Father, would You open our hearts afresh and new to believe and trust You to do what only You can do? Only You receive the glory this morning. Father, we pray this morning that only You would receive all the accolades, all of the praise. We believe in You, Father. We love You in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen one more time. All right. You saw just a minute ago how many people in here have received miracles. And I'm going to tell you, Carrie just came up to him right before service. And he said, remind me. Say, hey, if you need a test, we got some. But he was just telling me about when he was in the Dominican Republic, he fell off the roof. And God stopped. He was starting to bleed. And God stopped his bleeding instantly. And there's people in here this morning. We've got miracles that could go back 30, 40, 50 years. But we've got miracles that just happened last week, the week before, last month. And we're going to give you three. We took an hour and a half worth of testimonies that we taped. And we edited them down to 8 minutes. Come on, somebody. So you're getting 8 minutes of an hour and a half worth of testimonies. And we may put the full testimonies on the internet soon and let you look at the whole thing if you like. But this is three people out of our congregation that have experienced a miracle just recently. Go ahead and watch this.
My name's Jason. I was a heroin addict, jobless, homeless, you know, you name it, I was there. I wouldn't be here right now to tell this story if God hadn't intervened.
I'm Ashley, and for the last 20 years, I've struggled with homosexuality. My testimony goes a long way back. I've grown up in a great Christian home. I've spent about as much time, unfortunately, running away from God as I have to God.
We're Jason and Amy, and this is the story of our struggle with infertility. 2 years ago on Easter Sunday morning, we were not at church because we had just completed our 9th procedure. In July of that year, we actually did our 10th and our final procedure. And again, it was a negative in terms of being pregnant.
Probably for about the last 15 years, I've really struggled with physical pain in my body. And just little by little, I let it take over my thought pattern and just everything. I would buy pain pills off the street to compensate. Got to a point where I was, you know, buying and then selling them. Got busted with Schedule 2, Schedule 3, Schedule 4 narcotics. Enough that I had a $75,000 bond and was probably looking at a minimum of 2 years in jail.
I have grown up knowing scripture, knowing counsel, knowing what's right from wrong. And because of that, I also knew how to justify my actions. I had grown cold and calloused to everything.
It was probably the lowest point in our lives.
We felt like this was the end. This was as far as we felt like God was leading us into our 10th procedure. And so at that point, it was so difficult to go talk to the doctor one more time because we're at the end of our road.
When my court date came up, and I looked on the docket, my name wasn't there. She looked it up and she looked at me and said they decided not to pursue charges. You know, normally that'd be enough to bring somebody, you know, back around to the Lord, but not me.
I had heard from him in this very church actually a year ago to run from this relationship and from my lifestyle. And I went back.
It was hard because it was kind of like a finality. You know, all of the other times we had met with him, there was still this hope out there that there might be something else that would you know, help us. It was just kind of like a door closing, although we did have a peace throughout this. Many times throughout this journey, you would just be filled with a sadness. I mean, it was not, I mean, yes, there was anger, there were other things, but it was just a deep, deep sadness.
I still, in my mind, I wasn't willing to turn everything over to God. I just always thought, yeah, I'm missing something on that other side. Then that next year, things cropped up health-wise. And I went through a 2-month period where I ruptured 10 cysts in my kidneys. Before I knew it, I'd gone down a path that I swore to myself I'd never go down.
I tried to live as best as I could, to give everything to God. There was one thing, though, in my life that I've struggled with. I have lived with this bondage. For 20 years, I've lived with the lie, and I couldn't think and imagine me being free from it.
I don't think words can describe the emotions. It's still very real. The emotions that we went through during that time, because it did feel like the end. Although it was a struggle, we did have peace throughout the whole journey that God had led us on this walk that we were on. And although it was hard, we still felt like that's where God had us.
6 months later, I was a walking skeleton. I was a heroin addict. It wasn't a monkey on my back. It was a 1,000-pound gorilla, and it was beating me down daily. I needed a miracle.
This was the end of what we could see.
The only way we felt like we were going to have a child was going to be a miracle.
I knew to be able to be free from this, it would have to take a miracle.
There was something in the back of my mind starting to come up that was saying, God, I miss that other guy, the Christian, the one that walked with integrity. You know, I started missing being him.
I went to a conference, and it was on freedom. I had been praying for my eyes to be open and my heart to be softened. It was there that I was in the position to hear God, to break the chains.
A couple weeks after we got that 10th note, I felt like God gave me that scripture, be still and know that I am God, be still. And I heard him tell me multiple times during the next 3 months, be still. You hear that scripture all the time, but for our journey, be still was so hard.
I realized the grass wasn't greener on this other side. It was painted. It was nothing but muck and mire, and I was sinking in it. But God's good. He never let go of me.
It was going to take something drastic for him to rescue me and for him to reach me. And when he did, I did the only thing that I knew to do, and that was fall before him crying.
And I cried out to God, and as I pulled my needle on the last time, the plunger broke. You know, because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, man, I just saved this needle, and just in case. And I pulled the plunger, and it broke, and I said, that's it. By the third day, he broke that heroin addiction. It was gone. I had no desire to do it again.
We were at home. We took the test, and it gave us a plus sign, which we had heard no so many times that it just felt unbelievable.
I just kept looking at Amy, and I said, I'm not going to believe it until you go to the doctor tomorrow.
You know, everything I've lost, God can restore, because we serve a God of restoration.
He freed me, and I know that I'm a child of the Almighty King.
He knows what's just around the corner. And for us, it was our little Ainsley hope.
It has been an amazing journey. There's no question about it. It has been unbelievable. It helps you understand love in a way that you never could before.
I'm just so thankful that even though I gave up on him, he never gave up on me.
I take joy in the fact that knowing that he is uprooting the old and replacing it with new growth.
Ainsley Hope is 9 months old now. When you look back at the last 9 months and then the 9 months before that and the 2 years before that, it's just been an amazing journey. Just to see her now and to think that she's really our child. You know, what a story and what a testimony.
Wasn't that good? Come on, give him a good clap offering. Wasn't that good? Why do we show you that? Because we believe God still does miracles today. And you saw when we had hands raised just a minute ago that it was there's so many that we could have taped in here, so many miracles that happened in people's lives. It's just non-ending. And the reason we do that is Easter was never to be only remembered, but Easter was to be experienced at the same time. Look at Romans chapter. Let me show you a few passages that we're going to pray this morning. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead does what? Where is the location of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Where is the location of that Spirit? Where is it? It's in us. That who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as, everybody say just as. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. That means this. If there's something in you that's dead, something in you that needs to be made alive, he says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And just as God used the Spirit of God to raise Jesus from the dead, he will use that same Spirit that lives in you to quicken whatever is dead in you. Come on, somebody. Give a good clap offering. That ought to be... Just as, here's another one, look at Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that you will begin to understand And the reason Paul said that was, is because they didn't understand. And if I could be impolite, I got a feeling many of us do not understand. So here's Paul's prayer and my prayer for us. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to, everybody say, help. Who needs a little bit of help in here this morning? I pray that you begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ. See that Easter was never be something just to be remembered, but Easter was to be something to be experienced. He said, I pray you would understand this, that same incredible power that God, that same incredible power is here to help you. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand. He said this, my hope, my desire for you is this, that you would understand that this incredible power that God's put within us to help us. How many might need a little bit of help with your marriage this morning? How many of you might need a little bit of help with your body? Maybe help with your financial situation. Maybe you need a little bit of help this morning with an emotional situation. It may be a relationship. It may be whatever. But the Bible says this, he has come in this incredible power to help you to understand that it is used and there for us today. Now let me define what kind of power this is. Look at verse 20. I didn't read the whole thing. Go back. That raised Christ from the dead, seated him in the place of honor at God's. Go back one more time. Go back to 19. It says, I pray that you begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help. Let me say this. The same one, it is the same mighty power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. Easter was not to only be remembered, but to be experienced. Now go to Philippians chapter 3. All I want is to know Christ and to do what? No. Just to remember his power. Is that what it says or what does it say? To do what? Experience his power. He says, all I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. It was not to only be remembered, but to be experienced. And when he rose from the dead, he didn't rise from the dead by himself. Many other people experienced his resurrection. And he never changed, because Paul writes and says, that's what I want for every one of us, is I want to experience the power of his resurrection. I believe that's one thing the Lord wants to do this morning. My greatest hope is for you to not only have a great church experience, or go away and say, man, what a great music team they have, or to go away and say, what a great preacher he is. My goal for you is for you to experience the power of his resurrection this morning. For him to quicken in you something that's dead, for him to do a work in you, because it operates today. Listen, only a miracle can help. Aren't you glad I don't have to stand up and say, man, I wish we could help you, but Jesus only did that 2,000 years ago. He doesn't do that today. Wouldn't that be horrible to say, he only did it for that generation, the rest of us, well, we're on our own. He still does today what he did back then. He's still alive today, and he still operates, and Paul wants us to open our eyes to have our understanding enlightened. And I'm not trying to be sensational. All I'm saying is this, we face things that we need a miracle. But somewhere along the way, some of us got into bad theology, some of us got hurt, some of us got scared. I don't know about you. I grew up in a denominational church, but I was curious because we always talked about miracles, but we never saw any or experienced any. And I remember I used to pray. I was a good denominational person. I said, God, I want you to do a miracle. And I was curious, but I used to always kind of say it this way, but I want you to behave yourself. Come on, somebody. No weird stuff. None that. None, go get off the deep end. I want it decent and in order. I don't want any of this weird stuff. And so what happened was, God, listen, comes in many times, and he'll do things his way. And let me end up this morning before we pray with some myths. There are some myths that people believe that I believe we need to tear down that'll help you. And number one is that some think that God is disinterested, that he's disinterested. He's not really interested in our situation, that God doesn't care. that he really doesn't, if he does care, he doesn't care about me. And if he ever does anything, he just does it randomly. He's fickle. He just picks here and chooses there and does this and that. And listen, nothing could be further from the truth. God cares about every detail of your life. Look what it says in Matthew. Listen, it says, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Even birds. I remember one day I was driving to church. I used to live out in Central. I'll never forget this. I saw a bird fall to the ground and die as I'm driving. I saw a bird just fall, whatever. I've never seen that before, never saw it after. I saw a bird fall to the ground, and suddenly that scripture came to my heart, and I felt the presence of God. Because he says, not one will fall to the ground and die without your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You know when you put that, comb through your hair this morning, that brush, some of you probably didn't, but most of you did. Did you know that when those that came out of your head and stayed in the brush, did you know they were numbered by God? Every hair on your head. Let me tell you how minute God cares about you. The hairs, this is Jesus saying, the hairs on your head are numbered. And that's, everybody say amen. So do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. God says this morning, listen, he knows you intimately. He loves you. He's not thick. He's not disinterested in you. He cares. He knows every one of you before you came this morning. He knows what's wrong, and he's here because he loves you. Look at this. Second myth is this. Some think God is dead. And if they don't think, some believe he doesn't exist at all. There's a good movie out that'll help you on that. But some people believe if he does exist, he's dead concerning the area of miracles. And there's not a single verse in the Bible that ever said God would stop doing miracles. In fact, it's full of verses saying that we are to continue to see God do miracles in our lives. We can expect it. We can believe God to do it. It's like, I'm going to do all these mighty miracles back then, but not now. There's absolutely no truth to that whatsoever. The opposite is true. God always intended to do miracles, and he still does miracles today. And you say, well, can you explain them? Absolutely not. Well, the greatest miracle man on the earth today that saw miracles under his ministry is Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard Bonnke, he saw 1 million people get saved in one meeting in Africa. I mean, tremendous. He sees the lame walk, the blinded eyes are open. He's had two or three that were dead come back to life. And you ought to hear him explain it. One time, when the first time miracles ever happened, he said he was in an auditorium. In a stadium, and he said he was just standing up there, and all of a sudden, a person began to scream, and he said this person that was blind could see, and he didn't know what, and then all of a sudden, a second blind person could see, and there was about six or seven blind people that got healed, and he said, I was just talking. He said the officials, the word got out, and we had our second night, and the officials came and shut the meeting down. And said the officials came up on the stage and said, we demand an explanation. Explain this to us. And Reinhard said, I don't know. I want somebody to explain it to me. He said he had no right. He didn't know how it happened. I was down in West Palm Beach and with a cardiologist. One night we were having supper. We got to know him and we were down there one night. We were having supper. And Reinhard Bonnke is one of his patients. And I'm going to tell you something because you need to see this and understand this. Reinhard has heart problems. And he goes to cardiologists to get his heart taken care of. And yet, under his ministry, he sees miraculous power everywhere. Somebody won't explain that to me. Well, that's another myth we'll deal with in just a second. Let me give you another myth. If I've got any problems, I can't be used of God to see a miracle. If I've got any problems, man, if there's a sickness in me, God could never use me to see somebody else healed. Absolutely wrong. Nobody has the formula. Let me show you this. One of the greatest miracle workers in the Old Testament was a prophet named Elisha. Now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Everybody say died. Everybody say illness. That means he probably had cancer. or he had something wrong with him. He was sick. He was about to die. And he saw miracle after miracle under his ministry. And now he's got ill. He's got cancer, let's say. He's sick. He's about to die. Hey, Pastor, what's up with that? Let me tell you something. The Bible says it's appointed. Everybody say appointed. It's appointed unto man once to do what? To die. It's you got an appointment with death. And here's my people ask me, Pastor, how do you pray for somebody? I said, I pray for the appointed day. I pray that they won't die one day early, and I pray they won't die one day late. I pray they'll die on the day they die on. I don't know. Sometimes they go one way, sometimes they go another. I'll learn all that in heaven. I'm not going to let all that confuse me. I just pray for the appointed day they're to go to heaven. That's their day. That's the day they're supposed to go to. I leave that in God's hands. But all the other stuff, it never stops me from being used. Here's a prophet that's been used for miraculous healings and just you name it. This guy has seen it. He saw the chariots of fire come from heaven and pick up his mentor, who was Elijah, and carry him back to heaven. I mean, this guy's seen angels. This guy's seen fiery chariots and horses from heaven. He saw them. And now he's got cancer and he's dying. So he can't be used of God because, watch this. Elijah had been suffering from the illness which he died. Joash, king of Israel, went down to see him and went, my father, he cried, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha died and was buried, and Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. Remember the guy that died of cancer because of the illness? Threw the man, another guy dies, he throws him into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elijah's bones, what happened? The guy's still doing miracles after he's dead. Come on, somebody. I can't explain it all. I just know this. I know I can have a lot of stuff wrong with me. When that king came down to Elisha told him the prophetic word and ministered to him. I don't know all the ins and outs. I can't understand everything. I just know this. God can use me anytime, anywhere, any place. I can have a croup. I can have all this and still lay hands on people and watch God do a miraculous thing in their hand. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering, would you? Here's another myth. You've got to be a saint to experience a miracle. We live down here in the country where we have a lot of saints, you know, believe it. And you associate saints with miracles, and you've got to be a saint to have miracles. Listen, this may shock you beyond words, but not everybody that Jesus healed was a good Jew. Some of them were bad Jews. Watch this. Watch. Now, there in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool which is Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who had been there invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him laying there, learned that he had been in this condition for 38 years, do you want to get well? Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which it took place was a Sabbath. The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away from the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Then what does he say next? What did he say to him? Which means what? He'd been sinning. And Jesus did say, now, before I heal you, you got to be a saint. He heals this guy. And then later he finds, he says, now, you're well. Stop the sinning. Come on, all the sinners say amen this month. Stop. The teacher of law, and now here's another one. The teacher of law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one. He said, neither do I condemn. Now, she needed a miracle. She's about to die. That was the law. She's about to die. She needed a miracle of protection. And here's Jesus in the midst. Woman caught in adultery, brought her out, and the Bible says he gave her a miracle of protection. God protected her. Just like Jason talked about, you know, he goes and they're about to, you know, give him 2 years in prison. And this thing, this woman is about to be stoned to death for her sin. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you. But what does he say then? Go leave your life of sin. See, she received a miracle before she came out of her sin. You don't have to be perfect for God to do a miracle in your life. You don't have to, Jason, you don't have to be a miracle for God, you don't have to be a saint for God to do a miracle in your life. He does it because he loves you. He protected this woman. I'm going to tell you, there's tremendous things God wants to do in lives. He does it just because he loves you. There is no formula. Watch this little video. You're going to like this little girl from Australia.
I got sick when I was 15. I thought as a 15-year-old I'll get better because that's what always happens when you get sick. And then I got diagnosed with post-viral fatigue syndrome and then ME. It's basically a neurological condition. There were days when I couldn't brush my own hair or like wash my hair or cut up my food or just anything because you're so like, it's so extreme. It feels like you've been poisoned. Once years started to go by, I started to get really like, I started to ask a lot of questions, especially of God, and spending time on my own in bed if no one was looking after me. I just cry and be like, God, why is this happening to me? And so after a while, I just stopped praying for healing because I would ask him on my own too. I was like, God, please take this thing away from me. Like, I don't want to be sick anymore. And I don't want to make God mad. So I don't want to keep asking him because he doesn't want to heal me. I went to university and I was a disabled student. You know, I've got the disabled badge and you got the like disabled living allowance and I have a carer and I have people that had to take notes of me in lectures and people that went to lectures for me and people that got books out. So you just everything changed. I went to this church and I wanted to help with their youth group. So when I was well enough, I went to this youth group and there was a guest speaker. And so she started talking to me and she said, you know, how come you can't stand up? And there's this lady called Heidi Baker who's coming to this conference in May. And she said, you should get prayer from her. And then God actually started to speak to me. I don't want to heal you because of anything you've done. And I don't want to heal you because of anything you will do. I don't even want to heal you for a testimony. But Ruth, I want to heal you because I love you. And it totally changed my perspective because I was this, I don't want to make him mad. Clay doesn't want to do it. He actually just wants to do it because he loves me. Then I went to this conference and she was speaking and I never heard her speak. I didn't know anything about her really, but I was just like, I want to be like that lady, you know? Like she's so much more in touch with heaven than earth and I just never seen anything like it. And then at the end, they said, we're going to do a fire tunnel. So I got to go through the fire tunnel and Heidi pulled me out. She just started hugging me for ages and I felt so much love. And I remember standing like while she's hugging me, just going, this lady doesn't even know me. And I feel more love than I've ever felt in my life. I was like, Heidi, please can you pray for my ME? And she said, that's what I was praying for. She said, it's gone. She's like, you're going to be able to walk and run again. She said, go and buy yourself some running shoes. And I just fell to the ground. And like, I just knew it lifted off me. I drove home and I screamed the entire way, like at the top of my lungs. There were other cars. Who's that crazy girl? I just screamed. I was like, I have my life back. Over that summer, I got to just build up strength in my legs and just muscles in general because I didn't really have strength in them, so I hadn't used them so I was sick for 5.5 years. I led the England missions trip in April and got invited to actually speak at the church where I got healed. And there was a girl there who had really severe ME. And so I got to minister to her and love on her. Before she couldn't even sit on the ground, she was crying. She's like, I'm in so much pain, just trying to sit, like pump. She couldn't do anything. And she starts walking laps around the sanctuary. At the end of that day, she looked like a different girl. And so she came up on stage and she actually shared her testimony of being healed. And when you've been really ill yourself, you just have, you know what it's like. And when you've been healed, you're like, I know you can do it, you know, like this is a no-brainer. And that's kind of what I'm passionate about. And I don't really mind what it looks like or how it happens. I just want to be, I want to be a vehicle of love like Heidi was for me. She just carried the Father's love for me, and that changed my life forever.
Give the Lord a good clap offer. Wasn't that good? All right, a little bit of advice that we're praying this morning. Just open up to God. I don't have else to say it. Just open up to God's power this morning. Just, you know, Ephesians 4 says it this way. Let me say this then, speaking for the Lord. Live no longer as the unsaved do, for they're blinded and confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness, and they're far away from the life of God because they have shut, everybody say shut their minds. Listen, don't shut your mind. Don't shut off your mind to the possibility of what God wants to do in your life. Don't shut it off. Be open to it. If you do that, you'll not understand. It said they've shut their minds against Him, and they cannot understand His ways. And it's amazing how many of us don't want to go there. You know, I want to say in my safe belief system, and I don't want to go there because it might be weird or it might be experiential or maybe whatever, but I believe God wants to do something in your life, and some of you only a miracle will do. James 5 says it this way. It says, is anybody among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, notice, they don't have to be a saint. He says, pray over them. God will heal them. And he said, then if they're sinning there, do like Jesus did. Go and sin no more. They don't have to be sinless. They don't have to be saints for God to do this healing. And somebody came to me and said, Pastor, aren't you afraid to say that? What if you pray and nothing happens? I said, that doesn't bother me. I wasn't going to take credit if something happened, so I'm not going to take the credit if something doesn't happen. Come on, somebody. I made up my mind long ago. I'm not here to perform a miracle. I'm just here to be obedient to what God told us to do. I leave the rest of them in God's hands. It's not my business. It's not my reputation I'm after. And I've learned this. Look what Acts says. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people, there was this great miracle happened. This crippled man was made well. And Peter and John had prayed for him. And Peter and John, all the people were astonished, came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Just the same way. Why does miracles surprise you? Why? Because Jesus did it. He said he's going to continue after he leaves. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power, our godliness. Listen, God's going to do miracles today not because I'm some godly person. He's not going to do miracles because I'm so man of faith and power. And somebody said paste and flour. Faith and power. Says, why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness he's made this man walk? Here's why God did it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. He has done this to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. And we'll say it one more time. Anything happens today, it's all because of Jesus and His resurrection. We're just mere men, and that's all we are. We're just a messenger. He is glorified. Come on, somebody, would you say amen? Now, my goal for you this morning, before we pray for you here, I want you to experience two miracles today. If I had to ask you, what is the greatest miracle ever? What is the greatest miracle that could ever take place in your life? And let me show you this, because there are some things we're going to pray for. God really cares about our physical being. But let me give you this. Maybe somebody raised from the dead. Maybe somebody that's healed. Maybe somebody that's deaf. What is the greatest miracle of all? Let me give you this. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said it this way. He sent out 72 of them one time to do ministry. And they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons... Lord, you should have seen the miracles that we did. Man, demon-possessed people were driven. The demons were driven out of them. They were in their right minds. And here's what Jesus said. He replied, hey, I saw an even bigger miracle than that. I saw the devil fall from heaven one day. Many centuries, I saw the devil fall from heaven and like lightning from heaven. He said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, he said, there's a bigger miracle than any of all that. However, he said, do not rejoice that the spirit, and in the Greek it means don't rejoice only because the spirits are submit to you, but rejoice. Here he said, here's the biggest miracle of all. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know why he said that? Because he said that is the biggest miracle of all time and ages. That miracle will never come to an end. That miracle is the day when your name was not written in heaven, and now it's written in heaven. That's not an earth. Let me tell you, your name, what does that mean? What does that have to say when he says your names are written in heaven? Because the miracle, when Jesus comes into a life and he changes your life, it's not just something happens on earth. This is something that happens for all time and all of eternity. That is, when Jesus died on that cross, he paid for your sins. And you say, man, I like that. But see, you're almost there because the Bible says, as many as received him. How do you do that, Pastor? You just believe. You just trust him. You just ask him. Say, Lord, thank you for dying in my place. I believe that today, that it was my sins you paid for. And when you do that, you say, now, Lord, take over my life. And listen, what you don't know is when you do that, somewhere in heaven, there's something being written. And that something is your name being written down in a book. That one day every one of us will stand before the God of the universe and give an account for his life. And then the Bible says, if Jesus is in our lives and we have got the new birth, then what happens is everything we've ever done wrong has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. And there's another book he opens, and that's called the Book of Life. And it says, one day God will see if your name is listed in the book of life. That is the, Jesus said, if you want to really rejoice over a miracle, rejoice over that miracle this morning. How many of you have experienced that miracle? Let's just see, raise your hand. Look at that. Many of you. This morning, I want you to do this. I want everybody to stand up. I want the music team to come back up. I believe that we're at a place this morning where God wants to do two miracles in your life. I hope I've helped you to where you don't have to be a saint to receive a miracle. You don't have to be perfect to receive a miracle. You don't have to be any. All you have to do is know that God loves you this morning. That's all it is. God loves you this morning. God cares about you. And here's the way we do it here. We don't have anything spooky we do. We don't have anything, you know, that we've worked up and we're going to pretend. We're not going to do any of that stuff. All we're going to do is I'm going to ask you in just a moment if you need a miracle in your life. Whether it may be a miracle of salvation, it may be the miracle of having your name written in the book of life. Or maybe your miracle might be your marriage or your body or maybe something inside of you. Maybe a money situation, financial situation, a relationship. You name it. Whatever miracle you might need in your life is I'm going to ask you in just a minute, just step out. Maybe you came with somebody. They'll walk down here with you. We just ask you to come down front so that we can just pray with you. All we do is we just stand around. We just pray with you. That's all we do. We don't perform anything. We don't pretend. We don't do all that. All we do is, hey, let's see what God will do. Let's just see what God will do. See, maybe you're in a place where you need a miracle. You need a miracle in your life. Bow your heads, would you? Maybe you've come this morning with hopes, and maybe some of the things we said this morning has helped. And maybe it's to a place where you say, okay, maybe God will do that. Maybe God does. All that God really cares is that he loves me. I don't have to be perfect for God to do something in my life. I don't have to have all this kind of... One guy came one time with his little boy, and Jesus said, if you have faith, and the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He was kind of half and half, and Jesus healed his little boy. It was enough. Maybe some of you that way, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to believe, and listen, let all that be wiped away. Just come and let God do what God wants to do. Just let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do. Jesus said this, if the works that I do, you'll do them too. The miracles have never stopped. You've got the same spirit that raised him from the dead 2,000 years ago dwells in you this morning. But let's do this. I want to maybe help all of you that want that second miracle. Let's just pray for that right now. Maybe you want that second miracle, your name written in the book of life. Maybe your name written in heaven. You want that miracle to happen to you right now. It's just that's the greatest miracle ever happened. No matter whatever anything else God ever does for you, that'll be the greatest miracle God ever does in your life. And maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know if my name's written in heaven or not. I don't know. Well, here's what you do this morning. If you're ready and you're willing and you've got a desire to turn your life over, say, God, I surrender. Jesus, I want you. Maybe you want to do that, but you don't know how to express it. I want to help you this morning. I'll pray, and I want the whole congregation to pray, and they'll pray along with me and with you. And we'll just help you, lead you in a prayer. And you just say this to God. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you this morning that you died for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I receive this morning the forgiveness of sins. Come into my life. Change me. I surrender all. Would you have my name written down in heaven that I can spend eternity with you? I surrender everything. Take over my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say amen. Can you give the Lord a good clap offering this morning? All right. I want everybody else to close your eyes and just be praying. Now, if you need a miracle this morning, would you come down? Just step down the aisle, come down here. There'll be a number of people coming. You need a miracle this morning for God to do something in your life. And we're going to ask this. I'm going to ask, there's many here that if you've received a miracle, like that little girl from Australia, once you've received a miracle, it's so easy for you just to believe God will do it. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. And I want you to do this. I want in our congregation, I want you guys, if you've received a miracle, I want the altar workers, the pastors, I want those of you that you believe that God has done a miracle in your life, I want you to come down and I want you to get behind somebody. I want you to put your arms around them. I want you to love on them. I'm just going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God this morning. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to do anything spooky or crazy. Maybe you're a little hesitant. Come on down. If you need a miracle this morning, come on down and just stand. All you have to do is come down here and just stand. And all we're going to do is we're just going to believe God. We're just going to ask God to do what only God can do. Jesus, Lord, we thank you this morning. We pray, Lord, as these are coming. Father, only you can do a miracle. Lord, only you are worthy. So this morning, Lord, we lift up all these needs to you. Jesus, we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. Father, glorify your Son, Jesus. Let them experience the power of the resurrection, Lord. We pray right now, Father, thank you for the same power, that incredible amount of power that was used to raise you from the dead dwells in us this morning. And we thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray for miracles. Lord, we just pray for that. Lord, would you exalt your Son, Jesus? Would you exalt your Son? Would you give him glory? Would you show him to be alive by many infallible proofs? Lord, this morning we just lift it up. Father, we thank you this morning for your power. We thank you for your glory. We thank you. Nick, go ahead and lead us in a song. Everybody stand up, begin to worship God as we pray. Come on. Everybody, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't stop. Just keep praying. Ah, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just keep praying. We just yield before you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, listen. You know, this morning we're not striving to make God do anything. Remember the young girl, she said, I just learned that God loves me. We're going to sing an old song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. You want to do it in C? I don't know what key you want to do it in. I want you to get ready. Listen, one of the easiest things to do is you've got to believe that God loves you. That's a kind of a basic thing. And this morning, sometimes you just come to that place where she said, he doesn't want to do it because I have all this and that. And he just does it because he loves me. He loves me. And if I could tell you anything in life this morning, God loves you. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes. What's belief, Pastor? That means when we don't understand, we just trust him. We just, okay, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. I don't understand. And I'm going to tell you this morning, God loves you more than life itself. You are precious in his sight. He loves you. God loves you. He's not some ogre up there detached from humanity. He loves you. God loves you. Your hairs on your head are numbered. You're worth more to him than anything else on this planet Earth. He loves you. That old song says, sing it with me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Come on, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Now lift your hands. Those of you down here at the altar, just lift your hands and just receive. Just believe. Say, Jesus loves me. Sing it one more time.
Jesus.
Listen, no other reason. He loves you. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. So strong. Come on, yes, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me.
Loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The
See, none of us deserve what we got. A lot of us have experienced miracles. None of us deserved it. Nobody's good enough. But listen, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. It is no secret what God can do. This morning, he will change, he will touch, not because you deserve it, not because you're a saint, not because you're holy. Just does it because God loves you. You know, the Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Many times he would heal people, then he would tell them, now because of the goodness of God in your life, go and sin no more. Because of what God loves, see here is an example of God loving you. He's healed you, set you free, protected you. Now go and sin no more. And this morning, stop all that nonsense of thinking you got to do this and that and this and that for God to love you this morning, to give a miracle in your life. He wants to give a miracle to show you how much. Just open up to his power this morning. Just say, okay, God, I surrender. God, I'm here. God, thank you. I know you love me. You love me, Lord. The man at the pool, been there 38 years, didn't know a thing going on, and Jesus heals him. And then he says, now don't go sin no more. You need to straighten your life up. Yeah. Respond to the love of God. Respond to it this morning. There's an old song. We in C this morning. We're in the key of C. This says this. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Sing that one more time. Just lift your hands one more time before we quit. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God. Can we give him a great clap offering this morning together? Would you do that? Lord, you know every heart up here. You know every life. Would you just show yourself alive? Would you show them how much you love them? Lord, would you take away all the years of disappointments and pain and struggle and striving? Just one moment of love, one touch, just one touch. So this morning, Lord, we thank you. We commit this to you. You receive all the glory. Lord, we've just been obedient. We've done what you said do. Now, Lord, you take over. You do it. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give it one more good clap offering. Would you do that?